Greetings, my dear and wonderful and beautiful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful and beautiful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And you are listening to thinkaboutit.org. This is the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, February the 13th, 2011. It's Black History Month, but all day, every day, all year, every year is Black History for us. This is the Mind of God program, and on the Mind of God program, we endeavor to climb out of the mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling family. We endeavor to climb out of the mind of the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, the bankers and the international thieves of land, wealth, and resources. We endeavor to climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of Goddess Mother Holy Spirit. And we endeavor with this mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of Goddess Mother Holy Spirit, to organize together for freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. And we are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, religious, and revolutionary organization that is of like mind. My beautiful sister Venice is my producer, my helper, my engineer, my coordinator and facilitator of this website and of this program, and I give thanks and praises unto the Most High for my beautiful sister Venice. You may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net, yahlove, yahlove@comcast.net. And as always, let us now pause and give praises unto the Most High Creator and the Most High Creatress. We give praises to the Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, Father is known as Abba. In the African Arabic language, Father is known as Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, the Almighty Father is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the Native American tradition, Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. Also giving praises to our wonderful and precious and beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She, Mother Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is chokmah, and that is a feminine word referring to and denoting a feminine entity, in this case, our Mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our wonderful and precious and beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. The Father begets, but the Mother conceives. Holy Spirit is feminine, female. She's our Mother. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the Mother of Jesus, but she is your and my, our mother as well. In the African Hebrew language, her name and title, the name and title of Mother Holy Spirit are Ruach HaKadosh. And Ruach is the African Hebrew word for spirit, found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. That word is feminine and refers to and denotes a feminine entity, in this case our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, the name of our mother, the Holy Spirit, is Illah, spelled I-L-L-A-H. And our Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu Illah Illah Ha'il Allah. And there you hear Illah, the mother, and you hear Allah, the father. Because mother and father have come together to give birth to the whole of creation, the universe, sun, moon, stars, planets, and give birth to the human family out of the spirit of love. And in Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the Native American tradition, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the great and the grand mother. So, I greet you, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. In the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the Black African Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. And believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of his imperial majesty, Emperor Haile I Selassie I Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile I Selassie I Rastafari was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say, Jah Rastafari, Haile I, Selassie I, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. This is to teach us that Christ, that Jesus, that Yahshua Mashiach desires to be revealed and manifested in your, my, our personalities, thereby making your names, my name, our names, the new names of Jesus Christ. In fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3, and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days, Christ would come. In the last days, Christ would manifest in they and we who truly believe in Christ and understand that it is our job and mission to stand for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. For who is the I? In Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari. That I is you and me. The Rasta don't say you and me. The Rasta say I and I. Because the first I signifies the self united with the great divine self. The second I refers to the human family and the whole of creation. Yet in that unity, united as one I. Because all of us are divine manifestations of divinity in divine human flesh, living on this divine planet we call Earth, in this divine universe.
And when we recognize our divinity, that we are a piece and manifestation of divine, and manifest that divinity, we will see our way to come together, to be the body of Christ, and to stand for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed in these last days of judgment in Babylon. So we give thanks and praises for the prayer and recognition of the Most High Creator and the Most High Creatress. Now, we are yet in the book of Revelation, and we want to, as we have been doing, look at some current affairs, current events, and then go back into the book of Revelation to talk to the black man and woman, the black church, the black preacher, but talk to the human family. Current affairs, looking with the eyes of Jesus the Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ on current affairs. The word revelation, coming from the Greek word apokalyptos, which means to uncover the truth and remove the falsehood, and to see the wickedness of this system and see how to come together based on truth to overturn this wicked system using the truth for the benefit of the oppressed. Salvation and redemption to the oppressed, and judgment and warning to the oppressor. So the big current event and affair is this situation in Egypt, the uprising in Egypt. I want to kind of title this Egypt Uprising, Second Coming of Christ Manifested in the Oppressed, or the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the CIA, the MI5 and 6 of Britain, the Mossad of Israel. Which is it? Is the uprising in Egypt, is it a manifestation of Christ rising up in the oppressed? Or is it that the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the CIA and the MI5 and MI6 and Mossad have done something? I've been reading a book written by William Bloom called Killing Hope, chronicling how the CIA, acting on behalf of the ruling class and ruling families, either create revolutions, they can create a revolution. 1953, Iran is a good example. Kermit Roosevelt, who's related to Teddy Roosevelt, I believe Teddy Roosevelt's grandson, on behalf of John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles, heads of CIA and Secretary of State. I forget which one was which. I think John Foster Dulles was the head of the CIA, and Alan Dulles, I believe, was Secretary of State, or was the other way around. Kermit Roosevelt created the so-called revolution in 1953 to overthrow Mohammad Mossadegh, a man that the ruling class and families did not like. And so the CIA, Mossad, MI5, 6, CIA, Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, through Kermit Roosevelt, created a revolution and overthrew Mohammad Mossadegh, because Mohammad Mossadegh wanted his people to have control over their land, their wealth, and their resources. So we want to know, what is this that went down in Egypt? Because the CIA can infiltrate a revolution. They can create a revolution. So this uprising in Egypt, was it infiltrated? Or was this a true manifestation of the people, the oppressed, the poor working class, and the working class and the poor class of our sisters and brothers, our dear sisters and brothers in Egypt? I want you to go on the internet to gnclive.com. I'll have this in my summary. Listen to World Crisis Radio, hosted by Webster Tarpley. This is the February 12th edition. I've been listening to Democracy Now! I've been listening to KPFA, and it is viewed from that standpoint, these events in Egypt, as a total revolution, uprising of the people. Listening to CNN and the mainstream characterized it as chaos first, because CNN and the mainstream media being infiltrated by the CIA on behalf of the ruling class and families look at uprisings and revolution as chaos to the ruling class and families, because the ruling class and families, the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, want to maintain control over the land, wealth, and resources of the earth, and use warfare, bloodshed, to obtain, through the spirit of covetousness and idolatry, that which they do not own. And so they want to maintain control over the land, the wealth, and the resources. So when the uprising first manifested in Egypt around January 25, around that time, the mainstream characterized it as chaos, because they know that the poor masses of the people of the earth, all over the earth, internationally, are rising up in Central and South America and Mexico, rising up in the Isles of the Pacific and the Caribbean, rising up in Africa and the so-called Middle East and Asia, rising up in the ghettos and barrios of North America, Canada, Europe, Israel, Australia, and New Zealand. The masses of the people, the poor, working class, the masses, the oppressed. The Bible, the Quran, prophesy that we will rise up with that spirit of Christ and overthrow the power of the wicked ruling class and families, Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. So when they see and saw this that was occurring in Egypt, saw what went down in Tunisia, you see things going on in Yemen and Jordan and other places, CNN characterized this uprising in Egypt as chaos, not characterizing the real chaotic lives of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed as chaos. That's not chaos to them. Poverty, warfare, and bloodshed on the poor masses of the earth, they don't characterize that as chaos. That's good for the ruling class and families. But when we, the poor and the oppressed, uprise and rise up, that was termed as chaos, because they don't know, is prophecy coming now or is prophecy coming later? But then all of a sudden CNN shifted, and CNN called it a revolution. Now KPFA, Democracy Now!, loved the people, and they saw it immediately as a revolution. Webster Tarpley gave us a timeline of events to cause us to think critically. Is it a total revolution? Is it chaos? Who's involved? What went down? Looking at this timeline. Because certainly, great number of sisters and brothers sincere and want to see change in their country. But we have to look at the hidden hand maneuvering. And when we understand the hand that is hidden, then we can join on with our sisters and brothers and really push for true change, understanding the hidden and unseen hand that is maneuvering us, causing us not to see the big picture and to see the full extent of what we need to do. And we're going to pause right here and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date, Sunday, February the 13th, 2011. Now, around, let's see, the resignation of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt took place on February the 10th and 11th, around that area, February 11th, okay? But there were some events that led up to the resignation. Before the resignation, Leon Panetta, who is affiliated with the CIA, if I have it correctly, he's the head or one of the heads of the CIA. He went on TV somewhere, some media, and stated that Mubarak was soon to step down. Shortly after this statement by Leon Panetta, President Obama basically echoed the same sentiment, saying that history was going to be made. This is all before the official resignation of Hosni Mubarak. We want to see, now the people, sincere, want to see change. But the CIA, they know how to infiltrate your revolution, your movement. They did it to us, black people in America, in the 50s and the 60s, and spun us away from true revolution for the masses of the poor, afflicted, and needy. We want to see, is the same thing being done in Egypt right now? At first, Hosni Mubarak said no. Hosni Mubarak said he was going no place, was going to stay in power until September of this year, 2011, have elections, and the nation will go on from that time period. You know that his family was seeking to kind of be a dynasty. Mubarak's son, I forget his first name, but Mubarak's son, one of his sons or eldest son, is in the business community, helping to privatize industries and healthcare and education, and these types of things have been going on in Egypt. Others in the business world looking to privatize, just like the move to privatize everything in America and Europe. The Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, through the Mubarak family, want to continue privatization. Those subsidies that go to the people, want to cut the people and privatize everything. So the Mubarak family involved in all of that wickedness. But Mubarak said no. He was going no place. Gonna stay in office till September. And so we see that there was a conflict between Hosni Mubarak, this dictator, and his masters. Hosni Mubarak was telling his masters no. Who are and who were Hosni Mubarak's masters? His masters, the masters of Hosni Mubarak, were and are the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the bankers, the international bankers, the International Monetary Fund, the World Trade Organization, the World Bank Organization, the multinational mineral and resource corporations. These are they who control the world's banks and economies. These are they who create warfare and conflict in order to facilitate the theft of the land, the wealth, and the resources of the earth, destroying the human family, destroying the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed in the process, causing impoverishment. The Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the international bankers and the International Monetary Fund and the World Trade and Bank Organization and the multinational mineral and resource corporations all set up and choose the presidents of the earth and the prime ministers of the earth and your government officials and educational heads and heads of financial institutions. These are all set up by the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and their ruling class elite stooges. The power, this is the world's elite power structure that chooses the world's dictators as well. It was the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the ruling class and ruling families of America, Europe, and Israel that chose Hosni Mubarak in early 80s to lead Egypt, to be the dictator of Egypt. These masters, his masters that he turned on, paid Hosni Mubarak and Egypt, not the people, but the ruling class elites of Egypt, set them up. Hosni Mubarak paid billions of dollars a year to help the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the ruling class and ruling families of America, Europe, and Israel. Hosni Mubarak helped these wicked ones, helped his wicked masters continue the destruction of the Palestinian people, Palestinian Christians, Palestinian Muslims, and the other indigenous peoples of that region. Hosni Mubarak was paid billions of dollars, and his military paid billions of dollars to help to destroy our Palestinian sisters and brothers. Mubarak and the ruling class of Egypt, who were set up by the Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, ruling class and families of America, Europe, and Israel, were all paid billions of dollars to destroy and brutalize the people of Egypt, our sisters and brothers. And guess what, sisters and brothers? For the last 2 years, since Obama has been in office, the Obama administration has supported Hosni Mubarak as well, and has signed the checks over to Hosni Mubarak to continue Hosni Mubarak's wicked help in destruction of Palestinian people and destruction in the sisters and brothers of Egypt, and help in the destruction of our sisters and brothers all over Africa and the so-called Middle East, making sure that revolution wouldn't jump, that uprising wouldn't jump. Obama has signed those checks, taken our money, signed checks to Egypt, signed checks to Saudi Arabia, signed checks to Israel. Our money, the citizens of America, taking our wealth, our money, and paying Israel, paying Egypt, Hosni Mubarak, paying Saudi Arabia to destroy our sisters and brothers, and in turn destroy ourselves. But all of a sudden, Hosni Mubarak said no to his masters. This is so interesting. He said no to his masters. And the military, Egypt's military, said no to the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. And the first communique of the military of Egypt said to the world that Mubarak would stay until September. And according to the Constitution of Egypt, he would stay, finish out his term, and then they would have elections and go on. Now, Hosni Mubarak and the military are not acting on behalf of the Egyptian people. They are invested in the destruction of the people of Egypt. They are invested in the impoverishment of the sisters and brothers of Egypt. They're only looking out for their own self-interest, but they started to tell their masters no. See, it doesn't pay to hang out with the devil, do work with the devil, and then all of a sudden become independent. You're in too deep. Saddam Hussein got in too deep. He's dead. Manuel Noriega got in too deep. He's in jail. Others, dictators, got in too deep. And so when you get in too deep with the devil, and then all of a sudden you want to become independent, well, these devils, these masters, these Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, they put you in power, they take you out of power. So, all of a sudden, we heard the masters begin to speak to Hosni, trying to tell him to get up off of it. Get up off the throne. Leave power. David, Gergen. You seen him on CNN. He's affiliated with the government and the administrations, whether Republican or Democrat. He's hanging out with the ruling class and ruling families. David Gergen. He is a mouthpiece for the ruling class and families, for the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. He began to say, David Gergen, on TV, this is unacceptable. Hosni Mubarak needs to go. And so the media, being infiltrated by the CIA, parroting the mentality and thoughts and words of the Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, ruling class and families, began to say, through David Gergen, that Hosni must go. Something happened in between February 10 and February 11th to force Hosni out. Hosni didn't want to go, but he was in too deep. He'd been hanging out with the devil too long. So, whatever it was, don't know. Don't know whether the CIA threatened him or threatened his family. Threatened his son, wife, who knows what they did. Threatened to just totally destroy Egypt. I don't know. Something went down to make the man leave. So, February 10, February 11th, we get Suleiman. He comes out, and this is the wicked man. See, they're all wicked. They're in for self-interest. Do the will of the masters. Then say, okay, I don't want to do the will of the masters anymore, but I don't want to be totally up for the people. So I'll just be here for my own self-interest. So Suleiman, not that he's good. Suleiman is responsible for that wicked destruction, helping in destroying the Palestinian people, helping to destroy the Egyptian people, helping to destroy revolution in the poor and the oppressed in Africa, in the Middle East. But Suleiman, the vice president, came out and gave Hosni Mubarak's resignation speech. Suleiman said that Mubarak is gone, and the military is now in control. Now this apparently is in violation of the Egyptian constitution, because when the president can no longer fulfill his presidential duties in Egypt, apparently Egypt's constitution says that the vice president is to take over. But the masters who set up Hosni Mubarak and set up Suleiman, they said, no, we don't want either one of them. Put it in the hands of the military. And so, it looks like even the military might be split. Okay, so the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers have infiltrated this revolution. Okay, and even at the beginning of the uprising in Egypt, two individuals named Tantawi and Anan, who are high officers in Egypt's military, they were in Washington, D.C. What were Tantawi and Anan doing in Washington, D.C. at the beginning of the uprising in Egypt? Tantawi and Anan were in Washington, D.C. taking orders from CIA, Obama administration, Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, the bankers, the international bankers and multinational mineral and resource corporations were giving orders to Tantawi and Anan to go back to Egypt and help to infiltrate the revolution and spin it to benefit the wicked ruling class and families of America, Europe, and Israel. So it looks like Egypt's military may be split. If I have it correctly, Mubarak and Suleiman come from the Air Force wing of the military. Tantawi and Anan, I believe, come from the Army wing of the military. But the military seems to be split. And the whole purpose is that the masters, the Oppenheimers, the Rothschilds, the international bankers, the whole purpose from their perspective is to stay in power, stay in control. What's the solution? Sisters and brothers in Egypt, disconnect Egypt from the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. Disconnect Egypt from the International Monetary Fund. Disconnect yourselves from the World Bank Organization and the World Trade Organization. These are wicked tools used by the wicked Rothschilds and Oppenheimers to destroy you and destroy us and destroy the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed internationally. Eliminate this debt that you have been saddled with, my sisters and brothers of Egypt. It's not your debt. This is agreements made between Hosni Mubarak and Anwar Sadat before him and the ruling structure of Egypt to sell you out so that the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers can enslave you economically. Disconnect from them and take control over your land, your wealth, and your resources, and have all Egyptian sisters and brothers be able to obtain, enable our sisters and brothers of Egypt, no matter the class, from the poor class up to the middle class, to have equal access to the land, the wealth, and the resources. No more extremely wealthy and poor impoverished people. We want equal access to the land, the wealth, and the resources. Also, discontinue helping Israel in the destruction of our Palestinian sisters and brothers. And discontinue in the helping of these wicked ruling class and families in their isolation of Iran to justify the destruction of our sisters and brothers in Iran. Now, we don't say that the rulers of Iran are all good. We want to unite with the poor, oppressed, and needy in Iran as well. We want a worldwide people's revolution. Dr. King told us to join the worldwide people's revolution, the uprising of the oppressed, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. Some of you may call it communism. Some of you may call it socialism. It does not matter. Some of us call it the kingdom of Islam, which is the kingdom of peace and the kingdom of the hereafter. Hereafter what? Hereafter the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers are broken. After their power is broken. The kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth, New Jerusalem, coming out of the sky. The Most High God and the Lamb, the Christ, the temple. And we are the temple. So that means the total manifestation of the Most High within our person and personality. And no poverty, no impoverishment. Equal access to the land, the wealth, the resources. Access to education. Access to health care. Access to living wage jobs. That's what we want. That's what we're standing up for. And that is the solution. Break the power of the Oppenheimers. Break the power of the Rothschilds. We're going to go ahead and take our first break. And I will see you on the other side of the break.